Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Hard times
like yeah. Hello, welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Beck in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Tuesday, and man, weird to think that it's over because you're always hoping that it's going to continue. But the season is over for the Los Angeles Lakers, and there's no one better to bring on to talk about it than Ray Moraldi. Ray, my brother from the Sporting Tribune. Ray, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sure you can find someone better, but I'm the only one better, so here we are.
You've done such a great job of covering this team this season. I do think the way, I guess this is two parts. I think the way that they had played in this series, Ray, in terms of having a 12-point lead in game one, having a 20-point lead in game two, having a double-digit lead once again in game three, the fact that they closed out game four gave some fans some false sense of hope that maybe they can come back and win. And by the way, Ray, like it wasn't false sense because they were in Denver. They had the lead with a few seconds left, and Denver did what they have done for the last two seasons. You know, now they are 13-1 at home the past two postseasons. They have defeated the Lakers 12, I guess, of the past 13 times that they've played them. Your thoughts on... Let's first focus on the game last night before big picture on the series and, of course, moving forward. Close game, it goes without saying. Back and forth game, the Nuggets win 108-106 to eliminate the Lakers in five. Your thoughts on the game?
Close. Yeah. And in a Lakers fan's perspective, heartbreaking because it was right there, just like game two was right there. So... You got to be thinking, man, the Lakers could have been up 3-2 in this series. But the way the champions are, they always keep their poise. That's why they're the champions. They're so confident. They know what they're doing. It's almost like they flip a switch in the third quarter, right? Like, because the Lakers would be leading in the first half.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, like, Denver is like, okay, let's go do it. Let's go do this thing. And then they take the lead. They did better on holding them off in the fourth quarter. But again, Jamal Murray... What a tough shot that was.
Amazing.
Like, you can only tip your hat on that one, right? So,
yeah, I mean, it was the kind of shot that at that point, Ray, like I knew he was going to make just when you look at what he did in game two. But again, to your point, you have to tip your cap to a team that finds a way to close out. I mean, this was the story of the series a year ago where a lot of Laker fans said, well, I mean, I know we got swept, but all the games were close. You know, at the end of the day, yes, they were close. I mean, this series, when you just look at the totality of the fact that the Lakers led at the half and that they had double-digit leads in all these games, I mean, yes, it was a close series. When you go minute by minute, the Lakers led for the majority of the series. At the end of the day, it matters what is the final score. what I guess what stood out to you most in this series? I think the big two did exactly what you wanted them to do. I don't think that this team, and you know this very well, they don't have a consistent third guy. They have had moments where D'Angelo comes up big against the Milwaukee Bucks, or he comes up big in game four to extend the series, and Austin Reeves has his moments. But like on a consistent basis, there's not that third guy on this team, but you did get the big two playing consistently well in this playoff series. What stood out to you most in terms of why they could not close out these games?
Wow, there's a lot here. rebounding, first of all, in the first three games, that really killed them. They did better in game four, and they were actually they were minus four in game five. The hustle of Aaron Gordon, he didn't score very much in game five, but he had 13 rebounds, six assists. And he had a career high 29 points and 15 rebounds in the postseason in game three. Like he was really everywhere on the court. He was one of the few players that can take on LeBron James physically, and they shut him down in game four. So he was the real key for the Denver Nuggets, because you know what you're going to get from Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr., who was also huge in that series, consistently getting 25 points a game in that series. Rui Hachimura did better in game five, but he was so much better last season. I don't know what happened this season, you know. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or whatever, but he just was not as aggressive as he was last season. Austin Reeves did better in game five. D'Angelo Russell had some games where he did well. I think him not doing well was overblown after his shutout in game three. But he did come up big in games two and four, and did pretty well in game five. But what matters here is that they're still not as big as Denver, because you put up the lineup in Denver. Jamal Murray 6'4", KCP 6'6", Michael Porter Jr. is a 6'10" small forward. These guys are big. And sometimes, like, Darvin Ham really loves his four-guard lineups against a big team like Denver. You know, that's why they get out-rebounded.
I mean, and so this is one of those things, right? And again, I thought they did their best to address it, because, again, I mean, I think what maybe gave a lot of fans, and myself included, quite frankly, a false sense of hope going into the season is the way that this team looked following the trade deadline. Again, we kind of forget, yes, the team went all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Yes, they played the Denver extremely tough. If you talk to Nikola Jokic, you said our toughest series. I know it was a four-game sweep. It was the Lakers. And so you're thinking going into the summer that, well, maybe if they do this and that, they run it back, but they make a few additions, which they did, this team can contend again. And the problem was, I don't know if they were as good as we all thought they were. Again, they had favorable matchups, which was obviously not the case. And Ray, we talked about this, and we knew it going into the last couple of games of the season. You know, listen, they could have still been in this situation regardless. I mean, like I as good as I think that they would match up against the Thunder, you look at the Thunder and it's like, well, maybe they lose in seven games. I think that would be a better series. But again, a year ago, they go up against a Grizzlies team, which was in total disarray. They beat them. They go up against a Warriors team, and that was their last stand, and now they're done. And then they go up against Denver. What they don't have now, Ray, going into the summer, is that false sense of hope. There's no one who's saying, run this back. And they're really beginning with the head coach. And they there was no way they were going to make a coaching change a year ago. I thought even if they get bounced in round one, you got to give him one more year. That doesn't seem to be the case. And I know you and I spend more time on social media than we probably should. I know a lot of Laker fans don't want him to come back. And Ray, you brought up a good point, which I think directly correlates with Ham. The way that this team came out in the third quarter, and again, you know, I mean, halftime, generally speaking, is when coaches make adjustments. You talk to your team totally outcoached in the third quarter, in the second half of this series. But listen, Denver's the better team, and they're my pick to win the whole thing. So, you know, regardless of when they played him, I think that this was going to happen. The thing, though, Ray, is I don't think they can run this back. I do think that there will be big changes. I don't know what that looks like. So let's go down the list. Let's not waste any time with the season over. Let's start with Ham. He was on the hot seat. I never thought realistically they would make a move during the season, but now that the season's done and it was a gentleman's sweep, for lack of a better term, remember the last time, you know, they didn't make the playoffs, you know, for Frank Vogel, by the way, probably won't survive in Phoenix. By the way, how amazing would that be? This is not going to happen if they're like, oh, like who's the best coaching candidate? Let's bring back Frank Vogel. Just joking. Ray, what do they do with him?
I don't know, honestly. I mean, yeah, conventional wisdom says one more year, like give it a third try, right? Because you want some stability, a little stability, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to change too many coaches. Like, who was the last longest tenured coach for the Lakers that lasted three years, right? Like, there's all, yeah, I know. That's the thing about the Lakers. They lack stability in the coaching seat. The thing by with the way, Darvin Ham, though.
Is that a little, like, I don't want to put it on LeBron, but it does seem like, you know, since LeBron's been there, you know, you knew the Luke Walton LeBron thing probably wasn't going to work, but then Frank Vogel's there and he wins a championship, and even that didn't work. And now Darvin Ham, and it's like, I also think that's a problem. And again, I think LeBron was going to be the next question. So sorry, I cut you off. Well, yeah, tell me what you think about Ham.
Yeah, the problem with Darvin Ham is there's no in between with this guy. Like he either experiments way too much, which he didn't have to this season. He already had his starting lineup from last year's playoffs, and he still decided he wanted to put Taurean Prince in and just do these four guard lineups when you already have big guys on your team. And sometimes he just doesn't do anything. Like earlier in game five in the third quarter, they were up 69-60 and the Nuggets were making a run, did not call a timeout until the Nuggets were leading by 3 points. Yeah, I know it worked for Phil Jackson, but he also had Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant on his team.
Yeah, so. A little bit different.
A little bit different here. And I don't know. I think he comes back for next season.
Yeah.
But I think he'll be in one of the hotter seats.
Where he'll come back, but if the Lakers have a stretch where, and again, maybe it depends on the team that they have coming back, but I think that's true, right? Yeah. Like, listen, if LeBron and Davis are back, which I think that they are, you can't be the 10 seed at the All-Star break. Not even the 10 seed, because they were the 10. I think, like, whether they're, like, the 12th seed and you're trying to get into that play-in tournament, like, I don't think the Lakers would be fine with that. I think at that point, they would make a move. This all probably correlates around LeBron James, where, to your point, there has not been any coaching consistency with him as the star player of the team. There's a lot of questions, Ray, what he's going to do. Again, his son is in the draft. I do think he's going to stay in the draft, if I had a guess, because there's going to be a team out there that's going to maybe take a chance on him, because, by the way, this is a very weak weak draft class. So if I wouldn't mind rolling the dice if you're a team that wants to kind of throw your hat into the LeBron Derby, why the heck not? What do you think LeBron does?
Man, it's tough because he is going to turn 40 this calendar year. So we really don't know. I think he stays if I put my money on it. But it's any day now for LeBron James.
Yeah.
I make it sound like he's going to die, but he's not. But
at some point he has to hit a wall. Like Tom Brady and him are very similar in the sense of how they take care of their bodies. And again, like Tom Brady is different because when you're a quarterback, like the rules are built for you not to get touched. LeBron getting hit, and now with the new rules in the league, where again the league is essentially saying, you know, don't call a foul unless someone gets hit, which big picture, I really don't have a problem with. At some point, LeBron has to hit the... I mean, we've never, ever seen this in the history of professional basketball. And yes, to be honest, Tom Brady is the only example in professional sports. I mean, any player who is 39, about to be 40, they're not playing at this level. So it sounds mm-hmm. crazy that the Lakers' future would hinge on what LeBron wants to do. But as long as he's still playing like one of the top 10 players in the league, you kind of have to give him that respect. And it's amazing that he's still playing this well.
Yeah, it's incredible. As for the rest of the team, we know Davis is staying.
Yeah.
We talked about fixing the margins, and they did that last year. But are they fixing more margins this coming off season? What are they going to do with Rui Hachimura, who was inconsistent in this series? D'Angelo Russell, always a big question mark, who did not do as bad as people thought he was going to do. And Austin Reeves, of course, he's a fan favorite. And if you trade him, you're probably going to lose some Laker fans on there. The big thing also is that Jared Vanderbilt didn't play. He was hurt late in the season. So who knows if he would have made a huge difference in this series, because he's a lanky guy who could guard everybody on the Nuggets. So
Ray, but such a key player, right, in that postseason run a year ago. And again, mm-hmm. To your point, maybe not so much in this series. He would have certainly helped. But it's all about matchup with Jared Vanderbilt. And you look at that postseason mm-hmm. and you look at the way that they had that run. It was really that lineup with Jared Vanderbilt and the defense that he played when you look at that Memphis series and certainly in the Warriors series.
Yes.
Listen, they weren't healthy. You know, mm-hmm. they didn't lose this matchup because of Jared Vanderbilt or Christian Wood or something like that. But he mm-hmm. would have certainly helped.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that question again. Do they run it back with the same team because they were not healthy? You know, there's always that question. But I'm sure they're going to try to fix something in margins again. Healthy either.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, will they come back for this year? I don't know. Are they going to try to get another big to flank Anthony Davis? Because we all know, like, while he did play the most games this season in his career, I think 76 games this year.
Yeah.
They still need someone that can rest him, you know, because he's just getting banged all around the place. So,
and you know, in the most, I guess, depressing thing, if you're a Lakers fan this season, is that this was the healthiest during the season that Davis has been, LeBron has been. And there were mm-hmm. stretches this year where both of those guys were putting up like peak numbers, mm-hmm. they couldn't have done more than what they did. And they were still losing, and they were still the 10th seed. And so, you know, again, thankfully, if you're a Lakers fan, they won the title in the bubble in 2020. But when you just look at the run that those guys have had, you know, they win the title, get bounced in round one, don't make the mm-hmm. playoffs. You know, at least mm-hmm. they go to the conference finals and then bounce in round one. When I saw that those two guys were going to team up, I thought at least two titles. So we'll see. Ray, the last couple minutes that we have, you want to touch on the Sparks. I think I'm not going out on a limb that they have two future stars. I think everyone's very excited about the draft that they have. I don't really see them contending this season just because they are a very young team. But I think Cameron Brink, you know, you turn on the TV, you see her commercials. She is a star. Your thoughts mm-hmm. on the Sparks this season?
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but it is a rebuilding year.
Yeah.
Right. So we have all the young talent. Obviously, Rekia Jackson, Cameron Brink, Zaya Cook, Ari McDonald, Derek Hamby. Like, this is a young team that's just going to learn on the job as it goes on. And sure, maybe the eighth playoff spot will be within reach or whatever, but I really don't expect that this season. It's too bad because I really thought that, if had Neko Ogumika stayed, you know, they could have followed up on that 17 win season that they had last season, and we thought they're gonna go for the postseason this year. But unfortunately, she's for Seattle. Good luck to her, and we're just gonna watch these young Sparks grow as the season goes on.
big news before the beginning of training camp in Candace Parker retiring. I really thought she'd give it a go only because, again, she was sidelined at the end of last season, did not play during Las Vegas's run at a championship. And I always thought that was a big turning point for them. And again, they won the title. But just, I guess, put into context, one of the all-time greats. I think she should be the first female statue in front of Crypto.com Arena. Your thoughts in the last 2 minutes, 90 seconds on the impact Candace Parker had.
She won a high school dunk contest, won back-to-back titles with Tennessee. second WNBA player to dunk in a game, right? I believe.
Right.
Yeah. Won Rookie of the Year and MVP in the same season. Won a championship in 2016. And then another one with Chicago in 2021. And of course, last season, even though she was hurt with Vegas, like her resume, like, it can't be put into words. Wow. She's just one of the greatest ever. And of course, now her post playing life, she's a great analyst for Turner Sports. Like, she just does it all. And I'm sad that she's finished playing, but at the same time, I'm excited to see her next year as an analyst.
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is she's so great on TV, and if you've covered the Sparks over the years, as you have, Ray, and I have, you know, lucky to have Chinigi Ogumike, who's killing it on TV.
Yes.
Candace Parker doing what she's done on TV. So the transition won't be hard. That transition began while they were playing, but again, was really looking forward to see Candace Parker take the court this season with Las Vegas, but really just happy to see her go out on top with a championship ring. Ray, you're the best. Again, you are going to make the seamless transition yourself, going from the Lakers to the Sparks at the Sporting Tribune. So you're the best, my friend. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll be talking to Will Despert, talking about the Las Vegas Golden Knights, if they can come back and win their series. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now. In a city where time disappears, we create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big. We go all night. And here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or comment, or want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, caller hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's bring in our main man in Las Vegas, Will Despert. Will! Vegas Golden Knights go up 2-0, and we're all thinking, okay, this is playoff hockey. This is the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mark Stone is back. I know that upsets some people. Whatever. The captain is back. They win the first two games. They had a chance, Will, to take a 3-0 lead, could not do it in OT, and now they find themselves in a 2-2 series. It's a best of three. Who the next three are in Dallas? What stood out to you? I guess, like, let's specifically talk about last night's game, because game three was very close. In game four, again, it was close. Dallas gets a late goal to win 4-2. Why do you think Vegas has struggled at the Fortress here?
Well, first off, I mean, going back to game three, wasting that Logan Thompson performance and having the Stars win that game, I think just set them on the back foot for the rest of the series. I don't really see how you come back from that, because That's the best game of Logan Thompson's career.
Yep.
And then obviously you come into tonight, Thompson wasn't nearly as good. He let a few easy ones by him. And other than Jack Eichel, really no one else has been very good either. Shea Theodore on the defensive end's been pretty bad. And I mean, obviously at all, but when you waste a performance like you had in game three, he's not going to do that again in game four.
Well, so momentum is so big in the postseason, and now the momentum is firmly behind the Stars. Again, by the way, like let's begin by saying they are the number one seed going up against the number eight seed. For sure. So they are the better team. Now they go back to Dallas. You got to imagine that'll be a different like atmosphere. And again, I kind of almost want to throw out game one because of, I don't know. It was just when I saw Mark Stone there and I just saw it, it was a different vibe. I mean, I agree with you. I'm not ready to say this. His series is over. In a sports talk show, I should have stronger takes. But listen, if Dallas wins game three, clearly this series is over because I think even if it goes seven, I don't think Vegas would go into the Dallas and win game seven. But do you think this series is over now? It's tied 2-2, best of three. But again, the two of the next three are in the Dallas.
I wouldn't say it's over, but I think it's a very much an uphill battle for the Knights. Like, I really don't like their chances going to Dallas, even though the road teams won every game in this series. I think, one, that's going to change. It's not going to be like the World Series was last year or whatever the baseball series was where they went back and forth. But I don't know. I think the Stars are going to get one in Dallas, and then the Knights probably going to win it back here. And then game seven, I think, in Dallas, so the Stars are going to take it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a classic series. I think that's the only thing you can really hope for is a seven-game series. It's really setting up a fun weekend in Las Vegas. We got the big Canelo fight because I think anytime Canelo fights on Cinco de Mayo weekend, it's a big deal, although maybe not the matchup that everyone was hoping for. But anyways, Canelo fight, and I think the Vegas Golden Knights, the Dallas Stars game six would be the previous night. I have to double-check that. But so listen, if Vegas is to do what a lot of people did not think that they would do, whether it's in six or seven, what has to happen? To your point, Logan Thompson had the game of the series and the best game of the postseason, probably, and Vegas wasted it. Can he have that same game again? What does Vegas have to do to win two here?
I'm not sure he can have that same game again. And I'm not even sure he'll be the guy in net for them next game. It could very well be Aiden Hill, considering that Thompson's lost two in a row and tonight wasn't a very strong night. But if he is, I don't really see him having, but I don't think that necessarily doomed the Knights. I think the Knights could win a couple games here if the rest of the guys just stepped up. Because other than Jack Eichel, I mean, Marchessault hasn't been great outside of the first two games.
Yeah.
They really haven't had much of like an offensive drive. So, I mean, there's a lot of goals being left, a lot of stuff being left on the ice.
You've covered this team this season. It is hard to repeat as champions. It is infinitely harder when you're not healthy. They have not really been healthy this season. How much did they surprise you, A, taking that 2-0 lead? But then, listen, at some point you are who you are. I will say that having covered a Los Angeles Kings team that did win the Cup as the 8th seed, so, I've seen that happen before. But what have you seen from this team that has not allowed them to play at that same level that they did a year ago?
Well, obviously, first, like you said, the health has been first and foremost. I mean, you can't win with a half-healthy team. But, I mean, the drive also doesn't seem to be there either. I mean, one of Bruce Cassidy's favorite adages in the post-game press conferences this year is that they wanted it more than us, or we just didn't want it enough. And, I mean, that's cool when it happens four or five times a season, but when it happens two or three times a week, that's, again, like you said, that's kind of what you are. So I was honestly more surprised that they went up 2-0 in the series, because I thought they were doomed from the start, because the Stars, like, they're a better team. They're a better team this year. They weren't a better team last season, but they weren't far off last season, even when the Knights won it. So, I mean, this The Stars are possibly the Knights' biggest adversary in the Western Conference. Yeah. They're never going to go down easy. And especially this year, I don't like the Knights' chances at this point.
Do you subscribe to it? There's something different about playoff hockey, because I mean that was the only thing that I thought of when I watched those first two games. And again, they really should have and could have taken a 3-0 lead. And again, I mean, if they don't win the series, I mean that's what you'll look back as at is obviously the turning point. But do you believe that there's something in terms of a flip that can be switched for a team come postseason? Or no, listen, at the end of the day, like they got two, they might get three, but like this is playoff hockey and they're just not as good. Do you believe that there's a flip that they can switch?
I think hypothetically, yeah, there might be that switch there, but against the Stars, I don't think they can just do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they were the 8 seed or they were the 1 seed and they were getting a lesser 8 seed, and obviously not an 8 seed as strong as they are, they could cruise and they could do that. But in this case, I just don't think so.
To flip it around, the Los Angeles Kings, another team in our region, they are one loss away from having their season come to a close. Again, just bad matchups. I mean, like, I think just in general in sports, and when the Kings got Edmonton again, third time that they're getting them again, I think this will be the third time that they lose to them, whether it's in 5 or 6 or 7, and I do think it'll probably be in 5. Speak to that from what you've seen from afar. Again, I just think it's a bad matchup for the Kings. I mean, it's terrible, by the way, that they, I mean, when they had that 6-1 loss at home. Again, not that you've been tracking this series as closely, but just from afar, what do you think has been the problem for the Kings there?
Well, the Oilers are just a wagon. I mean, McDavid, Draisaitl, and then you have Zach Hyman, who himself scored 50-something goals this year. I mean, they're just plucking guys out, and they're all impact players. Evander Kane's been, he was good for them. I mean, also Stuart Skinner and Nett was better than he has been in the regular season. So, I mean, the Oilers, I thought that obviously, like you said, that was a great matchup for them, but they're also just a team that could very well win the cup this year, obviously, yeah, with as much talent they have in the front end, but also with their depth.
By the way, wild that no Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup since the Montreal Canadiens beat the Los Angeles Kings back in 93. I'm sure well way before you were born, but
I was born in 2000.
There you go, making me feel I remember that series, and it is just wild to me because there's nothing like watching playoff hockey in Canada. Covered a couple of Vancouver Canucks Kings series over the years, and again, the fact that a Canadian team has not won since then, incredible. We'll see if that changes. Want to bounce around a little bit. By the way, Will, we may get to a very dry period in the Sporting Tribune. The Lakers season coming to a close last night. Five in five. A gentleman sweep, if you can call it that. The Nuggets winning 108-106. The story of this series that I thought was that the Lakers have led in every one of these games. They've led at the half. They've had double digits leads. You know, whether it's 12 points in game one, 20 points in game two, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. If you lose, you lose, and then you move on, whether it's in 4 or 5. What do you think the Lakers should do? There's been a lot of talk about changing the coach. There's a lot of talk about LeBron James's future. Again, this year, you know, fast forward to December of 2024, he will turn 40 years old. Bronny James is in the draft. I think, by the way, he'll stay in the – I think some team will pick him because maybe there's an off chance LeBron will join his son. What do you think the Lakers should do? Again, there's been a lot of talk about changing up the team, hitting the reset button. What do you think that they should do?
I think they should definitely consider doing something with Darvin Ham. I mean, yeah. Tonight was just a joke, first off, with the timeout. I mean, everyone was tweeting, call a timeout, when the Nuggets were on the run in the third quarter. If everyone else on Twitter and Darvin Ham's 5 minutes late to call that timeout. I mean, what are we doing? Yeah. The rotations were awful. I mean, you can tell LeBron is just frustrated with the guy every single game. As far as LeBron goes, I don't think he's going to do anything like drastic before he retires in terms of like leaving them in free agency. And as far as Bronny goes, I actually think what they might try and do is set it up so he goes undrafted and then LeBron can have him kind of like get him where he wants to in the G League, maybe get him maybe South Bay.
By the way, I mean, and again, I thought this for a while, that if you are a team that wants to get more attendance for your G League team, and again, this is a weak draft, and I'm not saying just because it's a weak draft, take him with like a top 10 pick, but like, if you're drafting outside of the lottery, like Bronny James will sell out every G League game. And again, I know all these teams play in smaller arenas, but his jersey will be one of like the hottest selling G League jersey. Your G League season tickets will be sold out. Like, just from a business perspective, I would take him, but also because there is a shot. And again, if you're the Lakers, this is the conversation that you're having with LeBron and Rich Paul and Maverick Carter. But I don't know, like if you're the Warriors, for example, who apparently try to make a trade for him, like again, like it doesn't hurt to. That is a financially smart Hail Mary. Why? Because even if Bronny James isn't great, bro, like he will sell tickets, sell jerseys, all that good stuff. We'll see how that goes. Clippers Mavs, that's another 2-2 series. Very easily could have been 3-1. We almost saw history there, Will, on Sunday, where the Mavericks almost come back from 31 down to take the lead generally. And I would love to know what the stat is when you come back from that many down to take the lead. Like, generally, you close out because the other team is so just disheartened and they're crumbled and whatnot. You know, kudos to the Clippers. Without Kawhi, I do think Kawhi is A, for sure out for the series. I mean, they're not going to bring him back for the series, and he's probably out for the postseason. Who do you like in that series?
I mean, at this point, I like the Mavs with Kawhi. I mean, even with that win the other day, I mean, you go up 30 points, right? And you think, okay, no Kawhi still. And you're like, okay, maybe they got it. And really, they didn't. And they get out of there by the skin of their teeth. And that was that. But I mean, I don't really trust James Harden down the stretch. I mean, and then you got to go against Luka Doncic, who is just, there's not enough word to describe the guy. So, I mean, I'll put my money on the Mavs if I was a betting man.
Speaking of defending champions in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Aces open up training camp. You will be out there. Listen, I think that's one of the teams where, yes, generally speaking, and by the way, they are the back-to-back defending champions, it is hard to stay motivated. I still like their chances in terms of, like, I think they want to be historically great. And but your thoughts on them, again, bringing back one of the most talented teams in the league, despite the fact that Candace Parker did retire. And I don't think that that's a small thing. I really did like Candace Parker coming back this season. I thought when she went down for the season a year ago, it did hurt them. Again, at the end of the day, they won the title, but they were a juggernaut when she was healthy. Like, those games were not even close. And they were more competitive when she was not with them. But your thoughts on Las Vegas?
First off, shout out to Candace Parker. What a legend, what a career. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Aces are favorites again. The Liberty last year, though, weren't as far off as maybe some people thought. Like, the Aces struggled with them in the regular season. It was a split series in the regular season, I believe, but the Liberty won every game in New York. And obviously, the Aces trounced them in the finals, but they're going to be hungry, too. But at the end of the day, I think the Aces with Becky Hammond, she's such a great coach and she's such a great motivator. I mean, it's a cliche because she coached under Pop, but she is like the Pop of the women's game.
Yeah.
And I mean, what they've built here is just astounding. Asia Wilson's the best player in the league. So when you have that, it's sort of like LeBron in his prime, like they're always going to be a threat.
Yeah. I mean, I love that all these season tickets are sold out. I think all the games will probably be sold out. A couple of the games will be at T-Mobile. So The community has really supported this team, and they have for quite some time. Wanted to take it back to the draft. I think a lot of the teams, by the way, shout out Detroit, 700,000 people showing up to check out the draft. The Los Angeles Rams had a party at Hermosa Beach, but I thought you were at the most fun draft party in the first round at Omnia, the nightclub. They put the media in a table, and I'm like, all right, here we go. We got Will.
Nice little booth.
Will up in the club. What was that like?
It was pretty cool. I mean, obviously the most Vegas thing you can imagine, right? Getting the draft pick announced in the club. It was interesting to see the reaction. When Penix went eighth, it was loud, and it wasn't a good loud because they wanted Penix. And then you have Knicks at 12 right before then. And I don't even know how badly the fans wanted Knicks, but that was just the last quarterback on the board. So that got an adverse reaction. Next pick was Brock Bowers, which got really no reaction, like in comparison, which yeah. I mean, and some comments I was hearing just from the fans next to me were like not very positive, but I don't think it's a bad pick. I think he was the best player on the board at that point. He's an absolute beast.
Yeah.
And he'll be an animal.
Listen, I mean, the only reason that I was familiar with Brock Bowers, I mean, besides obviously his collegiate career, is that the Rams were trying to trade up into the top 10, or at least trade up in the draft to pick him. So, I mean, he was a very coveted player. And I think the fans will really enjoy what he can do for them this season. They didn't really address the quarterback in the draft. What are your thoughts on how this team's going to look this season?
Well, they said for their quarterback battle, it's going to be Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. I mean, I would give Gardner Minshew the edge in that battle, even despite what O'Connell did in the preseason and toward the end last year, because I really don't think – I think that was more of a flash in the pan kind of thing at best, even when he was good. And at worst, that was kind of what it was.
Yeah.
Minshew, I think he's a higher-end backup, but he can start games in the league. So I think they're better off starting him if they don't sign anyone. Other than that, I don't think they have like a super high ceiling. They're going to have to get by the Chiefs, which is not going to happen. They're going to have to play twice against the Chargers, which I mean, I expect the Chargers to be stronger this year, despite the disaster that last season was. So, and even the Broncos, I mean, the Broncos could be a little tougher this year too. So I think they're probably around a 7 or 8 win team.
Yeah. Listen, you are in the center of the sports world there in Las Vegas, Will. I am hearing at some point, hopefully soon, the next big event will be WrestleMania. What would that mean? Again, I was at the last WrestleMania, speaking of the 1993, back at WrestleMania 9 at Caesar's Palace. I think it's going to happen. Worst case scenario, it happens a year from 2025. But what would it mean to you to have WrestleMania in Las Vegas?
That would be huge, because I mean, you know, I love wrestling.
Yeah.
I went to the one in Los Angeles, and it was just outstanding. But my favorite part of WrestleMania is actually like the whole week, because all like wrestling companies around the world are like, they come to the city WrestleMania is at, and it's like they all have shows all day. So like when I went to Los Angeles, I flew in Thursday afternoon and I went to the shows Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday morning, all the way to the end of the weekend. And it was insane. So if we could have that in Vegas, I mean, that'd be a dream come true.
It's just if it's in Vegas, I think that's what like everyone's dream is, because of that footprint, you know, like, as you know, when it's in Los Angeles, you got cards in Reseda and like Orange County and downtown. Yeah. If it's in Vegas, it's all there. So hopefully that happens.
Yeah.
Will, you're the best. We'll have you back on next week. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.